If you've been around the whiskey world much, you'd no doubt have heard the word tater. Many people have been asking lately, what is a whiskey tater? Well, if you want to find out, then stick around. Before we get started, I'd like to thank all the Patreon members out there. If you don't know, we have a monthly subscription where you can donate monthly to the podcast, but it's not just a donation. There's a lot of member benefits that come along with it. We have bonus content, special offers, distillery takeovers. That's where we go to a distillery as a group. King for the day, we get to have a private tour, drink from barrels. We do single barrel selections that are Patreon only, in-person meetups, monthly virtual bottle shares, discounts on merch, and you get the satisfaction of knowing that you support the channel and its mission. So before we get into it, let's go through the disclaimers. Number one, don't be a troll. This is just for fun. From my understanding, the definition of a whiskey tater is a potato has eyes, but they do not see. A whiskey tater is a person whose purchasing decisions are blindly based on hype and not the actual drinking experience. As is the case with any derogatory term that's been partially adopted by the people group it characterizes, there are humorous and vitriolic uses for the term. I call myself a tater. My friends sometimes refer to me as a tater, but if a stranger calls me a tater under the wrong circumstances, I'm offended. The best list of what makes you a tater, the you might be a tater if examples, are maintained by Wade Woodard on his blog, tatertalk.com. In the About Tater Talk section, there's a link to a list. By clicking on the word whiskey tater reasons, you will see the complete list. At last count, I think there were 93 things that would make you a whiskey tater, but they edit it all the time. So let's give some examples so that you can wrap your head around it. You might be a tater if you have ever paid 10x plus MSRP for a rare bottle. And this is something that I'm definitely guilty of. And most of my whiskey collector friends are also guilty of. You know, you get that FOMO and there's something that you need maybe to complete a vertical or something that you have heard a lot of hype about and you want to get it. And so you pay extra. That will definitely make you a whiskey tater. You might be a tater if you ever camped outside of a liquor store to get access to rare bottles. So I am also guilty of this one. One of my favorite whiskey experiences I've ever had was with Rodney Smith, the co-founder of the whiskey club Someone Say Whiskey with me. He had been going on a lot of work trips to Atlanta, and he found a liquor store that was a first come first serve store, and they got a large allocation in December. He had a work trip scheduled during the release, invited me, said all I had to do was pay for my own airfare, hotel would be covered because he had a two-bed hotel room, and we already had the car rental covered. So I flew out there. It's December. It's raining. We had to sit underneath a tarp overnight. But we did end up getting some rare bottles. But more importantly, we made some lifelong friendships there. In fact, there are still some individuals that we maintain contact with, one of which ended up moving to Louisville. And when we go to Kentucky, he usually joins us. So hard to wrap your head around how it could be fun to camp outside in the freezing cold rain to get access to a rare bottle. But if you haven't experienced it, you just have to go out there and do it because the camaraderie is great. People are sharing drinks, buying food for each other. But if you've done that, you are definitely a whiskey tater. You might be a tater if you bought whiskey despite a commitment not to, because, you know, you don't understand. It's just so rare, right? So I've had this experience before where I have been looking at my budget and said, you know what, maybe I need to slow down on the whiskey purchases. And then for whatever reason, some opportunity pops up for me to purchase a bottle that would be considered rare or allocated. And I justify the bad financial decision because, you know, it's just so rare. So in that regard, I'm definitely a whiskey tater.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
So you might be a whiskey tater. If you have ever bought a bottle because of what was on the tater sticker or aftermarket wax or some other addition to the bottle by a whiskey club, etc. So if you take a look at this bottle here in front of me, this was a Good Times, and this bottle is probably the most tatered out bottle that I own. So these stickers, you see these stickers on most of the bottles that are on this shelf behind me. It's pretty common for a whiskey club, if they have selected a single barrel, to make a sticker to commemorate that picking and to distinguish it between their other releases. Sometimes it's a kitschy joke, sometimes it's a play on words, sometimes it references something that happened while you were on the pick. And because there's a lot of references to popular media and things like that, there are times where people are compelled to buy a bottle simply because the image on the sticker. And from a pure logical standpoint, that is silly. But you can also have your bottles dipped in wax. So that's been popularized by probably Maker's Mark. But because it's a nice looking thing on a bottle, some whiskey clubs dip them in wax. They may even add some additional accoutrement, if you will, like this one. I believe this is a reference to a video game or something, but it's got this little extra thing that's stuck down into the wax on the top. So if you've ever been attracted to a bottle because of some aftermarket addition to it, you are definitely a tater. You might be a tater if you buy a raffle ticket thinking that you know what the next winning number is going to be, despite the bottle being 20% over secondary value. So it's a pretty common practice in the secondary market world for somebody to take a bottle, say the bottle's worth $200, and they're going to do, I think they call it a razzle, and they will sell the numbers 0 through 9. And then they announce in the post which of the Illinois state lotteries it's going to be based off of, because Illinois has a state lottery, I believe it's twice a day, and they draw 0 through 9. So there's 10 potential winning numbers. And so they basically make the winning of the bottle associated with the lottery. And so if you want to guarantee that you're going to win the bottle, you would buy all 10 slots. But if you want to just take a chance, you know, you buy less than all the slots. But this weird phenomenon started happening where if a bottle was worth $200, meaning you could just go out and buy it outright on the secondary for $200, the people that are doing the razzles have started selling the tickets for $24 a piece. And there seems to be about a 20% premium over what it would cost to just buy that bottle. And I find it fascinating because I took statistics when I was in college. And if you play Razzles often, statistically, you are going to win 1/10 of the time. But if you're playing Razzles often and all the bottles that you're playing on are a 20% premium, over time, you end up getting the same bottles that you would have got if you just bought them outright. You just pay an extra 20% for them. So if you're the guy that thinks, no, number 4 hasn't hit in a long time, I feel it. I can feel it's going to be lucky. I'm buying this number 4. Then you are definitely a tater.
Ah, I knew I was a bigger Bourbon Real Talk fan than you.
How do you know that?
Well, because I don't just use a prideful goat, Glenn. I got an official Bourbon Real Talk tumbler.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I got this Bourbon Real Talk lanyard to carry my whiskey glass in.
Oh, well, speaking of whiskey glasses, do you have one of these?
No, I don't.
Rocks glass.
Oh, yeah?
Yep, official.
Well, I love my wife, and I bought her this official whiskey wife flask from Bourbon Real Talk.
Well, that's cute and everything, but I got my wife one of these.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Well, you can just add your own liquor, and it's an actual cocktail right there in a jar.
Me and my wife like to make cocktails, so we got this simple syrup on
the
website.
Oh, do you? Yeah. Okay. Well, do you and your wife have one of these? This is an official sticker. You can only get these on the website.
No, but I do have these official coasters that have the Bourbon Real Talk logo on them, and I'm representing.
Hmm. Well, while you're representing those little coasters of yours, I've got an aroma kit.
Do you?
Yeah, so I can smell literally everything in bourbon. Everything.
Well, I don't have that, but I do have this sample box that I keep all my samples in because I'm part of the community and I share samples.
Yeah, but do you have Glen Toppers that are officially Bourbon Real Talk?
I don't have that, but I do have this large whiskey carrying case for my glasses so that I don't break them.
See, I knew you had that. That's why I have this, the smaller version, okay? It packs more easily into your suitcase. Uh-huh. Don't want to mess with that big old thing, okay?
Suitcase, that's for lamos. Check this thing out. I have a Bourbon Real Talk bottle carrying bag. You can't beat that.
I don't know if I can.
And on top of that, I have a Bourbon Real Talk t-shirt. I'm the bigger fan.
Oh, I can beat that. Is it extra schmedium?
No, I don't have an extra schmedium.
Ha! Extra schmedium.
You might be the bigger fan. You win.
I knew it.
So whether you're a Bourbon Real Talk super fan or simply looking for quality whiskey swag, head over to bourbonrealtalk.com today.
You might be a tater if you bought a whiskey because it won an award. So what a lot of people don't realize is all those little stickers that you see on the bottles, everybody gets a participation trophy for those awards. So when you send your bottle in for a competition, you pay an entry fee. And most awards have four different levels of rating. So some of them, it's like platinum and gold, or sometimes it's double gold, gold, silver, and bronze. So what they're hoping is you as the consumer don't know that this bottle that won bronze, you think that it came in third place in this huge competition. But the truth is, it was rated the lowest possible rating out of the competition, and everybody gets a rating. So when you see a bottle that got silver or bronze, chances are it did not compare very well to its contemporaries that it was going up against in that competition. And that's not necessarily a good thing. But if you've ever bought a bottle because of an award, you're probably a whiskey tater. You might be a whiskey tater if buying whiskey you don't even like is a common practice for you, but you have to have it to complete a vertical. So I've seen people back themselves in a corner where they go out and they collect all of the easier to find items from a series. Maybe you want all the Blantons. Maybe you're trying to collect all of the Orphan Barrels, whatever the case may be. And there might be one that's in the series that you don't even like. But because you have to complete the vertical, you spend money on a bottle that you don't like. That definitely makes you a tater. You might be a whiskey tater if you keep a record of what is in your infinity bottle. So I have an infinity bottle that I like to share with some people when they come over. And inside this bottle, there are hundreds of bottles of allocated products. But I have no idea what's in here. But some people keep a very detailed record of what the amount is that they put in there and how much of each bottle and all that stuff. And if you do that, you're considered a whiskey tater. You might be a tater if you insist bourbon can only come from Kentucky, or that the Lincoln County process prohibits Jack Daniels from being called bourbon. So these are common fights that we see online. People who are extremely loyal to Kentucky claim that if you call something a bourbon that was made, say, for instance, in Texas, that shouldn't be allowed because only Kentucky can produce real bourbon, when in fact the standards of identity defined by the federal government allow bourbon to be made anywhere in the United States. And the other common argument, and this happens almost every day online, is somebody who is a big Jack Daniels fan says Jack Daniels is not bourbon, it is Tennessee whiskey. And somebody who is a big Kentucky bourbon fan says the same thing, but for opposite reasons. The people who love Jack Daniels think that it's a big point of pride to be Tennessee whiskey and not bourbon, and vice versa. The truth is, the Lincoln County process is a subtractive measure. It is filtering the newly produced distillate through sugar maple charcoal, which is designed to pull out some of the heavier compounds that might be in your distillate after distillation. What's ironic about that is that the process was developed in Tennessee to smooth out the rough edges of pot still whiskey. Jack Daniels is the one that's pushed to support this process of the Lincoln County process, but they no longer use a pot still, they use a column still. And the Lincoln County process provides very little benefit from distillate that's come off of a column still, because all of those things you'd be filtering out were mostly taken out by the column still. But in fact, redactive measures do not change the legal definition of a whiskey. It can be called a bourbon. I even have a photo of a foreign distributed product from Jack Daniels that says that it's a bourbon on the label. But they choose to call it Tennessee whiskey because it does also qualify by that state definition. You might be a tater if you obtain vanity license plates with the name of the whiskey brand that you love, or if you name one of your pets or children after a whiskey that you love. So my good friend and partner on Someone Say Whiskey, Alex Baptista, got a new luxury car. His last name is Baptista, and his wife, while drinking wine one night, hopped online and bought him the vanity plate Bappies. So Baptista is definitely a tater for having the Bappies license plate. You might be a tater if you wait at a liquor store for them to unload the truck. So this is something that sometimes gets people upset, because they know that the whiskey that they want is back there in the back, and they don't understand why the store won't sell it to them. And it's actually because they cannot scan the bottle until it's been processed into their point of sale system. And they also may have a design to use that whiskey to reward their regular customers. And if you're not one of the people that they were thinking of getting the bottle to, they may make you stand around the store for a very long time. But if you do follow trucks to stores and wait around for the truck to be unloaded, you are a whiskey tater. And last but certainly not least, if you heard this list and it offended you, then you are definitely a whiskey tater. So I hope that clears up the question of what a whiskey tater is. I would love to thank you for the view. If it's your first time watching, I'd like to tell you a little bit about our show philosophy. We're all about bringing people together around bourbon. And that's something that's important to me, because I lost my brother to suicide in 2014. After he got out of the military, he was addicted to opioids, and it just caused separation from him and the world around him that was his support. And in the aftermath, and realizing that he did feel very separated, I thought, what can I do to create that kind of community that he was missing? And I started seeing how whiskey brought people together. And I thought to myself, if I can get you connected to whiskey, maybe whiskey will do the rest of the job and get you connected to others. And that's part of the reason why we started the podcast. And going online and seeing what connective opportunities there were out there, I started to see the negative side of whiskey enthusiast community, and that's trolls. There are a lot of people out there that want to say negative things and be hateful to strangers online, usually to build themselves up and make others feel like they're inferior. And that made us realize we needed to start Bourbon Real Talk Community, which is a free online forum. It's for people of all backgrounds, all experience levels, and there's no troll behavior allowed in there. But seeing those people be hateful to strangers online made me realize that if they can hate you even though they don't know you, there's nothing that keeps me from loving you even though I don't really know you. And that's why I end the show the same way every week, and that's this. If you woke up this morning and you're unsure whether or not anyone loves you, just know that I love you, and I'll see you next time on Bourbon Real Talk.